This is the Day Zero update for May the 8th, 2016. I'm Filippo Genolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Chris Sologi.
And I'm Dan Rep Victoria.
And unlike last week, we actually remembered to introduce ourselves.
Yay!
So that's a thing that happened. Apparently, we were so excited to get to the actual news stories that we kind of forgot how the show works. So Sorry about that. Yeah. So, yeah, before we get to the topics at hand, I did want to make a quick program note. Next week, we are going to have guests on the show. It's going to be a different format from what we typically do on the program. We're going to have Corey and Triace from the My Life in Gaming YouTube channel. They've agreed to join us and hang out for a little while. Should be fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Special guests.
We've done one of those. Yeah, it's been a few weeks. So, and I'm looking forward to having them on because I really like what they do over there.
Mm. So, that usually means Dan Rip, make a new banner.
Yep. Yeah. Just wait till we do a show at night for E3.
I'm actually excited about that.
that's going to be fun.
About a month out from that.
Yeah. Yeah, if that.
Yeah. My only worry is if Sony does another... you know how lately they've had their press conferences shown in theaters?
Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoy that. So if it just so happens I'm on the train and we're still podcasting, that's fine with me.
Yeah.
We're actually podcasting from the Sony conference.
Right?
Yeah, hey, that's what mobile internet is for. Yeah.
Just get randomly deafened by applause.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that'll be fun, too.
Yeah, that should be pretty cool. So we got games coming out this week. It's actually the start of the summer release season, it seems like. We've got Doom coming out on Friday. And before that, on Tuesday, we've got Uncharted 4.
Two very...
very big games.
Very big games, very anticipated releases.
Yeah. Anybody picking either of those up?
I'm definitely getting Uncharted 4.
Yeah, I'm getting Uncharted 4.
Yeah,
I will eventually have Doom.
I got a PS4, so picking that up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, this week is the Afterbirth expansion for Binding of Isaac.
Nice.
PS4.
Yes.
And of course, I am definitely getting Doom.
Yeah, I will end up with Doom. Not sure when. I wanted to get it for release, but didn't.
I will get it if I have to shoplift the damn thing. I will get it.
Doom made me do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun fact, though, if nobody's actually gotten the chance to try the Uncharted series, Best Buy has the Nathan Drake collection for $20 today only. Ooh. And if you're a GC member, that's $16. So $16 for three very solid games is totally worth it.
Damn.
Well, I got mine with my PS4, so.
Yeah, it was preloaded on your hard drive.
Okay. Yeah. But first things first, what have we been up to, man? What have we been playing?
Yeah, so I guess I'll start us off, because I've been playing some Genesis games since that Genesis Game Hub came out on Steam the other day. I've been kind of doing that, trying to tweak with the video settings to see what I kind of liked. It's possible to overdo the TV projection thing so that it looks kind of all bulbous and nasty. So, yeah, it's trying to find the right balance on that is kind of fun. It seems like the emulation has actually gotten better. So I think they've actually improved that. So that's pretty good. It's also fun going into the workshop page and just seeing the random crap people put up there.
Oh yeah. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. Some of those mods though are genuinely good.
Yeah, there's a few collections now that you can just subscribe to and just get all the really good ones.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get those. And I'm also wrapping up the Magic Circle, which, that game is weird. That game is weird, but it's the kind of weird that we need more of in the gaming industry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's meta as hell.
It's meta as hell. It's like one of the things, the mechanics in it is, it's basically you're drawing out, like, the wasted life of the developers who, like, put all this time and effort into something and then to have it scrapped. So you're drawing that out and repurposing it to do other things. And it's kind of an interesting and, well, interesting mechanic and, you know, says something about the gaming industry as a whole.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've also never been yelled at before by a game and until now. So that's a thing that happened. Yeah. It's a good game. I'm going to have a review of that up very, very soon. Yeah, been feeling kind of under the weather the past few days, so that hasn't really helped me very much, but feeling better now.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yep. So that's been
so I remember you were feeling pretty miserable on Let's Weekend a couple days ago.
Yeah, I was not a happy camper, put it that way. Yeah. But yeah, allergies and all that crap, you know, it's springtime. What do you expect?
Yep.
So that's been my week. How about you guys? Pat?
I've been getting into the King of Fighters 2000, PS4 version, of course. It did arrive before my arcade board did.
Yeah.
But I'm going back and thoroughly enjoying that game again. Mm. Really feels like, at the time, that it was one of the last of the truly big damage fighting games. Mm. And it's kind of cool. Looking at how things are, we're starting to see the beginnings of that type of fighting game make a comeback with Street Fighter V.
Yeah.
And going back and seeing just where it kind of left off, because King of Fighters 2000, you don't really think of it as being in that era of Touches of Death and things like that, but there was a lot of that stuff going on in that game. But it did it in such a fun and well thought out way that it doesn't really harm the product. So
yeah. Have they done anything with the PS4 version?
Not real. Well, what do you mean done with?
Well, it's like, you know, they do like enhanced modes or stuff like that. No, is it just straight port basically?
It's a straight port with all the usual PS2 to PS4, enhancements.
Okay.
So you got the upscaling, you got trophies, you got stuff like that, remote play. Hmm. But
no, so it wasn't. They're not doing Neo Geo emulation. It's the
no. This is PS2.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's why I got the arcade board coming.
Yeah.
And that rolled into Salt Lake yesterday, I think. So
probably get it tomorrow or Tuesday.
Yeah. In addition to that, I've been playing Trails in the Sky SC some more, just really trying to savor that game, and really especially enjoying that. I'm at the part now where we've talked about this in past podcasts, where every RPG has that point where it just goes off the rails.
Yep.
And this is one of those cases where it's really done quite masterfully. So I'm just enjoying every second of that. And then, of course, I've also been playing Magic the Gathering online because sometimes you want to play Magic and none of the card shops happen to be open at the given time, or you know, it just happens to be like 8 in the morning and you want to play some. So,
yeah, I saw your photos of that graphic cardboard violence. It was
yeah.
Yeesh, that was...
Yeah, people have a tendency to just concede the game when you flip three things in the ice. Which is a shame, because I eventually want to just have the joy of swinging for like 21 with no blockers.
It's like, yeah, there goes your life.
Yeah. So, that was fun. I think I'm going to be running with this deck for quite some time.
Well, it seems to be working for you, so.
And we've still got about 4 months of, well, no, 5 months of Magic Origins and Standard, so I'm going to get mileage out of this.
All right.
How about you, Brandon?
Well, first and foremost, like I said back on the Day Zero update, I've been replaying Bloodborne. Hmm. Because it's Bloodborne.
Yeah.
And because I didn't want to sleep again for another couple weeks. You know, I really joke a lot about that, but like I said back on back in on Let's Weekend, that that game has a way of getting under your skin after a while. Because not only is it, you know, like Dark Souls, really difficult, yet at the same time really addictive, it's also just unbelievably freaking creepy. Everybody talks about, you know, how with the Souls games, there's just this unbelievable amount of dread that you're experiencing. But Bloodborne does that and then enhances it by about 30 times.
There's that feedback again.
Yeah. It's that, you know, it's the fact that, you know, when you're first playing this game, obviously the environment itself is already incredibly creepy. But then there's the knowledge that there's stuff going on that you can't see just yet, but is there.
Yeah.
And has been there since the beginning. Yeah, that just makes it all that much more creepy. Yeah. Let's see. So, yeah, doing that. Also been playing Shantae and the Pirate's Curse. Well, I mean, it's the Shantae series. It's always been a load of fun.
Yeah.
And it's also fan service the game. But I love how they take it, like, really in stride about it, too. Like, they're not... They know how it is like that, and they just sort of accept it and make fun of it and even lampshade it a few times. But yeah, that game's a lot of fun. Also, I got to do a bit of the Overwatch beta this weekend.
Oof.
Yes, I did. And so I've said this before on this podcast, and everybody here knows it pretty much. I'm not a person who does multiplayer gaming, like, at all.
Yeah.
Because I've always been a solitary gamer. You know, at most it was someone with me in my room.
Yeah.
But, you know, every time I've tried to do multiplayer, either, you know, I either end up having to deal with some lag or I'm having to deal with some asshole online. But Overwatch is probably going to be the game that finally breaks this rule, because God damn, this game is so much fun. Yeah. You know, it's the whole sort of, you know, it's, first of all, the game has so much character to it. And I don't just mean about the fact that there's a bunch of characters you can play. I mean, it's got so much personality.
Yeah, well, it's a Blizzard game. I mean, that's one thing they're Blizzard very, game. Very good at.
I love the fact that, you know, it's... Because the whole thing is, if you really think about it, in the world of Overwatch, Overwatch is basically the Avengers.
Yeah.
So, obviously, there's all these sort of really unique characters involved. You know, I love sort of the world that they've created for this particular game. Surprisingly optimistic and kind of utopian, which is kind of a change from a lot of some of the sort of future games that have come out recently. Also, I don't know how it happened, but I think I may be in love with May. I don't know how it happened. It's just, you know, she's this cute, chubby Asian chick, and she's got the glasses, and she's got, you know, the top bun with the chopstick through it, and she's got the whole Velma thing going on, and I don't know. It's my weakness.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be a virgin forever. But, you know, also, she's got these really awesome freeze power, well, not freeze powers, but freeze technology that she does. So she's like a fantastic defense character. Also, something else I figured out recently. How many of you guys are sort of familiar with this whole lore of Overwatch?
I know nothing about it.
Yeah, this game has not been on my radar one bit, so
okay.
I...
Okay, so there's this one character in there named Soldier 76. And when I was sort of playing, I was looking at this character, and this character was really familiar to me for some reason. I don't know why. But I figured out where he actually comes from. He actually comes from one of Chris Metzen's personal projects. Before they had started doing Overwatch, he was working on this graphic novel series called Soldier 76, and it was basically about how there was going to be a new American Civil War, and that he was sort of a black ops guy who was involved in it. And I think what happened is that at some point when they were working on this game, they decided they already had a ready-made character here, and so they just sort of absorbed him into the lore.
Oh, he got dead or alive.
Yeah, basically. And I think what's going to end up happening is that that graphic novel series that Chris has been working on, I think, is going to end up being part of the Overwatch graphic novel that's going to be coming out.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So, Overwatch beta, awesome.
Yeah. You got an extra day to play it, so.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. So, what about you, Chris?
So, I've been playing Ratchet & Clank some more. I beat it for the second time. And I've only got one more trophy to go before I have the platinum, so basically I have to play through it a third time to get that. It's the trophy where you got to use the Gravitron on every enemy. And they don't have any sort of list feature to let you know if you've missed any. So I kind of have one that's on one of the trophy sites, and I'm just sort of going through. And since I've leveled up every weapon in Ratchet, I can just turn on the cheat for unlimited ammo and just throw it out constantly. Just make sure I hit everything. And, yeah, when you're using the Gravitron plus something that causes explosions, that just causes the game to fall apart as far as the frame rate is concerned. There's just all these effects going on. It just falls apart real fast.
Groovy.
Yeah, awesome. It's definitely one of those things where you can see, like, okay, this game wasn't necessarily meant to do all of these effects and explosions at once.
Yeah. Nope.
Especially when you level them up where it's, I think it's the Sheepinator. Which, when you get it leveled up, it turns into a goatinator. It turns into goats that, then you keep shooting them, and then they explode, and the other enemies around them will explode. It's just this cascading effect while they're all trying to dance, and it's one of those fun little things to mess around with and sort of push this game to the limits. Yeah, I got one more trophy. Just got to play through the rest of the game. I essentially played a full game yesterday. So I started off on the ice planet, beat the game, and started up a new challenge mode and played up to that point again. Enjoying the hell out of the game, looking forward to finishing it up. And this weekend I've been diving into a bunch of betas. There's the Overwatch beta, which is very much TF2. It's basically TF2, except you don't have just 6 or 7 characters per team. It's 30 characters or so, and they're all unlocked from the start, so you don't have to do any leveling up or anything for them. But what they do really well is saying, hey, these are the beginner characters. Try those out when you're starting. And I really got into Pharah, who is the Egyptian woman that's basically like the soldier from TF2. She has a rocket launcher. She can kind of do the rocket jump, but she has her own jetpack. One of her abilities is just a big boost up into the air. So really get vertical on the enemies. And she's also got a regular jetpack where you just hold the jump button and she hovers around. Initially, I was bumping between her and the Reaper, who's the guy that has dual wielding shotguns, and then when he reloads, he just throws the guns away and just pulls out new guns. And he's got a nice little stealth thing where move where you just hit that. You're gonna run around, no damage or anything, but you can't shoot. So it's a nice little way to get out of bad situations if you're paying attention. But with Pharah, I was doing okay at first. My first set of matches, I was playing against a team that knew what they were doing, so I was getting steamrolled. My team was getting steamrolled. When I actually made the video, which is up on YouTube channel now, and should be on the site a little bit later, I started playing against another team that sucked, was about as good as I was. And so I started getting just kill after kill after kill, and they were just running at me while I got a rocket launcher. And that's not a smart move. So I was getting like,
at least 10, get some lateral movement in there.
Yeah, I was killing them, getting like 10, 11 person kill streaks out of nowhere. And the entire time with the video, I'm like, I don't know how the hell this is happening. This is not how I've been playing before. Just in disbelief of actually doing well. And the two matches that we played there were the conquest mode, where essentially I have one spot in the middle of the map that you try and capture. And there's one team that's defending, one team that's attacking. And the attacking team tries to go and kill all those enemies on the other team and take over the spot. And once they do, it opens up the next spot, which is in their, right in front of their base, the other enemy's base. And you try and take that to win. And, defense, I was just using my jump jet to get up high and get over some of these ledges on this one map. And just shooting at them while they're not even looking up. They're like, you're not even looking where the source of the rockets are coming from. So there's, I ended up with the play of the game on this last match where you just see me jumping up here, shooting them, taking down one person, jumping down. And the others, they're all looking forward where I've just jumped behind them, just killing one, two, three. This funny sequence of events. And yeah, it's just a lot of fun. It's very much like TF2, but I think better at being noob-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely guide you along a little bit better. Have like a tutorial mode. They have like a gun range where you can go and just switch between characters and just test out the different moves.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a lot of options, too. Like, you can remap all the controls if you want to. There's even like colorblind options, too. You can switch between the different colorblind modes, different types of colorblind, to sort of make it easier to tell the difference between your teammates and enemies and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really cool. And they have loot in there, like loot crates. Every time you level up, you get a loot crate. That unlocks new like voice lines for your character, for different characters. They have sprays for the console versions even. Mm. They have a bunch of like skins and stuff like that. You can buy them if you want, but you can get them every time you level up. I think if you get, like, after every match, you they show like the best players of the game. People give them all thumbs up. If you get like enough of them, I think they give you a loot crate as reward. So it kind of has that cool little positive reinforcement aspect to it,
yeah,
as well, which, you know, most other shooters are just like, fuck you, you didn't do well enough, go away. So this game definitely has like a positive attitude. Just wants everyone to have fun. And that quick match mode is really cool because it just cycles through maps and modes constantly, which is really fun. And sort of initially when I was in that first set of matches, since my team sucked, we lost in like 5 minutes. So we're moving along pretty fast, which was pretty interesting. And, when we got to the second one, we were actually able to compete. The matches lasted for like 10-15 minutes, so it was pretty cool, and it seems like it's going to be a really fun game to play.
Hmm.
And the other beta I've been playing is Paragon. They opened up to some of the people that signed up on their site for betas. So I jumped on the PS4 version, played the first match, which, much like Overwatch, they sort of suggest you hop into a human versus AI match, sort of where you can team up with other humans and play against AI.
Hmm.
And that game is hardcore MOBA as hell.
Hmm.
It's kind of similar to Smite, but I would say Smite's more noob-friendly. This is kind of all in on all of the depth and all that MOBAs typically have. It's very much a third-person shooter. Kind of. You don't have, like, the left trigger, right trigger stuff to it. It's for me, I picked a soldier dude that shoots. So it's like R2's shoot. L2, you hold that and it brings up all your list of your abilities. So when you level up, you bring that up, choose what ability to upgrade. And the face buttons, square, triangle, circle were all the different other attacks I had. My triangle was like my special. And so that one, when you use it, it takes like 90 seconds for you to get it back, but it also takes more mana than the other attacks do. And like my square was a shotgun blast, and my circle was like laying down a trap. It was all about just hanging out with your creeps, take out other creeps, just level up initially. And occasionally AI will hang out and try and bide their time to see when they can attack and potentially try and knock you out. So that ends up with the matches lasting upwards of like 45 minutes or so. Probably longer if both teams are more equal. This one, we kind of reached a weird stalemate. Got declared victory anyway. It was really weird. And it's still in early access, so when I got out of the match, it's like, oh, you level up your character and your account. And I think for accounts, like, you get a card pack, you're unlocking actual, like, features in the game. I think I level up one more time and unlock the deck building part of it. Hmm. And, yeah, so they're cards, and the deck part is building up your passive and active abilities that are on the D-pad. So I had, like, a heal potion, mana potion, and one other thing that wasn't, I don't remember quite so well, but yeah, it's like a nice little thing where you get boost your health, and it'll start healing you up quickly. Otherwise, you just hang around, just go like, okay, you get one HP. A couple seconds later, another HP, another HP, and it sort of builds up slowly. If you get real badly hurt, definitely want to teleport back to your base, or I'll just heal you back up real quick. Yeah, it's heavily MOBA-based. It was interesting to see Epic make this game, sort of coming off of Gears, and they're still working on that that one shooter thing, the sandbox thing, I forget what the game's called. They've been working on for several years now.
Yeah. Well, there's the Unreal Tournament that's
yeah, that too. That. Hmm. Yeah, it's neat. I'm curious to play more of it. Right now, you have to pay to get in. They just put a sale on their Founders Packs to get in. It's like $10, the cheapest one. But you can pay up to $100 for like access to all of the characters' master challenges, which I think essentially lets you upgrade them to get like special skins and stuff like that. It seems neat. I don't know that I'm going to stick with it, but it seems interesting, and I'm curious to see how the audience for that grows, especially when they get to the actual part where it's free to play. The other beta I've been playing is Grand Kingdom, which is on PS4. It's from NISA Nipponichi and Spike Chunsoft. It's the team that made it, along with a company called Monochrome Corporation. But as far as I can tell from Google searching them, they don't exist on the internet. They kept bringing up another Monochrome Games, who makes, I forget what the game they make. It's Contagion. Obviously, that's not team making this weird Japanese RPG. So this game is kind of a successor to Grand Knight Story, which I was talking about in Let's Weekend. It's a game that was made by Vanillaware for the PSP in about 2011, and it was supposed to be coming over to the West, get localized and all that, but the developers were just so busy with Dragon's Crown that they just could not implement a localization, just put the time to do that. So I think the XSEED, their team, localized it, sent it over, but they just did not have the time to actually put the localization into the game and sort of finish up what was needed. So I ended up just letting that drop. So this game has the same producer, the same director on it. And so this beta is, it's an interesting RPG. It's kind of a strategy RPG a little bit. The battle system involves three lanes. Your character, your team of four is taking on other enemies as they move along this sort of board game-like grid. On this, each quest is like a board game-like grid map where you're just trying to get from one tent into the other. Along the way, there are enemies like patrolling or hidden enemies or other events that happen. And, when you get into battle, you enter into this weird three-lane system where essentially you see like the timeline shows like who's attacking now, who's coming up, when you, so you know who to try to attack to cancel enemy turns and all that sort of stuff. And there's a lot of mechanics for attacking your own teammates or potentially helping the other team. We have right now my team has a knight, a witch, and a medic. So the medic, she can throw heal potions at teammates. If there's an enemy right near her, splash on it, they can get healed 12. They can have to be careful with what you're doing there. And the same is true for attacks, where she's also got a acid flask that she can throw to attack enemies. But if your people is right near where they're attacking, where you're throwing it to, they can also get hit with that. So there's a weird little friendly fire aspect to it that's kind of interesting. The archer can obviously attack from long range. And that little mechanic is neat where you're moving around, and when you go to attack, it'll show you the specific area of attack, which is a stretch of each whichever lane you're trying to attack. When you pick a spot to attack, it shows a cursor moving from the left side of that area to the right side. And so if you can time it right, you can sit there and keep launching arrows and sort of build up this combo as you're kind of juggling the enemy that you're hitting. So it's kind of this really interesting battle system that right now is pretty easy just because I have the four base classes. There are a bunch of others to get along the way because you're essentially recruiting members to your party, sort of building up your party for these different missions and such. The beta aspect of this, I believe, is some sort of online mode. And I was trying to look over the official site, trying to figure out what the heck this mode was. It seems like it's a weird little online questing system. Where essentially, you align yourself with one of the four nations, and that essentially puts you in like a weird little guild for this battle. And you're sort of doing your thing as part of this guild. Apparently there's like weird voting mechanics to decide what sort of policies you put into place. Lots of weird little stuff that I kind of expect out of an NISA game they would publish. It had these weird little systems that most other people aren't going to bother with just because it just adds more complexity to the whole thing. It seems kind of interesting. I'm curious to see how that game turns out, but I'm probably not going to pick it up at launch. But I'm always interested in seeing developers when they can do these new types of battle systems. And aren't just doing like, oh, here's the same turn-based one you've seen every other time where you're just mashing the X button just to move along. The story's kind of interesting. It's you're part of a basically like a big mercenary corporation, and you're essentially sent out to deal with different conflicts and such. So it's kind of got this weird little setup for just doing infinite quests, really. Yeah, it's an interesting game. I'm looking forward to seeing more of that. Yeah, so what's been up with you, Dan Rip?
I haven't been doing that much gaming, and when I have, it's primarily been therapeutic. One, because I've been busy, and two, I mean, I just played through Star Fox Zero like 3 times, and yeah that game is
that's a mess.
I had a small debate with Phil about it in our own private group, but I was like, Star Fox Zero is a game where I hate to love and I love to hate all at the same time. To put it more into perspective, let's say the current version of Guitar Hero and the current version of Rock Band were merged into one controller, and you've never played the games before, and to add to all that, you have to sing. So that's pretty much what Star Fox Zero is. You know, I really enjoyed all the levels, but the controls were just so out there. Yeah, it's unforgivable. But yeah, so as for my therapy, I've been playing the game that comes with it, Star Fox Guard, which is actually really well put together. It's a tower defense game that uses the Wii U gamepad pretty well. Everything on your gamepad is actually shown on the TV. So while it's pretty cool to play alone, if you have some friends or family behind you, they can watch what you're doing. And if there's robots that you didn't see first, you can go ahead and switch screens and shoot them right away. So it's a pretty cool game to play. I haven't had as much time with it as I would like, but yeah, that's pretty cool. Also, I mentioned Uncharted a while ago because I actually just ordered it today. I'm going to pick it up as soon as the podcast is over. So
awesome.
I don't know what kind of improvements they made, if they did, from the PS3 to the PS4. I don't plan on beating them all at once, but I just want to find myself in the Uncharted world again before I play the game on Tuesday. So there's that. And also, my friend came up from LA because he picked up a Dreamcast at a pawn shop pawn shop kind of thing. So he gave that to me, and then I just bought some batteries for the memory units so I can go ahead and finally start Shenmue. So pretty excited about that. And we'll see where that takes me. So otherwise, that's all I've been doing gaming-wise until Uncharted comes out.
Cool. Yeah, looks like a pretty full week for most of us, anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess we'll move on to our first discussion topic, which is the interesting reaction that Activision Publishing CEO has had to the savaging of the YouTube video trailer for Infinite Warfare.
And oh, was it savaged.
Yeah. So naturally, he's going to have to put some spin on it to like reassure his investors that it's not all going to hell.
And it's nothing short of a masterpiece.
Yeah, it's okay that we got all of these YouTube dislikes. It just shows the passion of the audience that they would go out of their way to go and dislike a YouTube video. I think that logic breaks down a little bit.
Am I the only one who felt the blank stare and empty smile coming off of all of this message while reading it?
Yeah, because it's like, you know, I can substitute a couple of words and get a similar thing.
Yeah.
Let's just say instead of dislike a YouTube video, I switch it to punched in the face. It's okay that 40 people came out and punched you in the face. It just shows that the passion of the audience, that they would walk up to you and punch you in the face.
Wonderful.
But see, that's why he has this job and you don't.
Yeah. It's like,
They bring up the number of likes per view. That's the highest they've ever seen.
That's not a good thing, because
you made up the stat to prove how good we're doing.
Yeah, likes per view doesn't really, you know, equate to anything when your dislikes are like 5x.
I'm surprised you didn't say, hey, it's doing better than Federation Force.
Yeah. Ooh, like
burn.
Yeah,
by the way, I just want to go over here, check the Here's the, you know what's really just absolute, what's even makes this more painful?
Hmm.
Check out the like to dislike ratio for the Battlefield 1 reveal trailer.
Yeah, it's kind of the opposite.
Good God, it's literally the Battlefield. Okay, look. Dislikes for the Battlefield 1 trailer, 16,006. Likes, 848,188. That's not even close.
Yeah. It's a little bit skewed there.
You might want to pay attention to that, Activision.
Yeah. Well, of course, that's why they put the Modern Warfare Remastered behind the Infinite Warfare paywall. Because, you know, they know that's the game people actually want. Activision.
And then if people end up paying their way through said wall, they're going to attribute the sales to Infinite Warfare.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they're going to do it again next year when the next Call of Duty comes out, and they'll do a remaster of World at War. So, and they'll say, well, that works, so let's do it again.
Does anybody want a remaster of World at War?
Yeah, actually, there are quite a few people that would like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's our Call of Duty talk for the week. I just had to bring it in there because his response was just amazing and
worth
reading. Yeah. So, Pat, you're... got some Zelda news here.
Oh, yeah. Just, my whole predictions for how Nintendo's immediate future was going to go. Obviously, I predicted that they were going to push the NX to 2017 and, you know, make this year the E3 of Zelda. This is not what I was talking about, though. I fully expected them to have other E3 plans besides Zelda. And...
They don't.
Apparently that's not going to happen.
It's just, yeah, this year, we got Zelda. That's it. Don't expect
it's not like they don't
else.
Have other. It's not like they don't have other games they could be showing as well, like that new Paper Mario game.
Yeah.
That's about it.
People don't really know what's up with that game.
Yeah, this is...
I guess other stuff like the Dragon Quest and what have you will be handled by Square Enix and
it's all
the third parties.
Yeah.
We'll probably see Tokyo Mirage Sessions FE in the Atlas booth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think...
this is not a new pattern for Nintendo. They've always loved to kind of shuffle off as much of E3 as possible to their third-party partners.
Mm-hmm.
But... This is almost Sega Saturn status. Like, okay, we're just going to take a year off, go do whatever you're going to do, and we'll be back next year.
Yeah, but I almost wish they had done that instead of just, you know, showing up with one game.
Yeah.
I mean, there's also a pretty good game coming out at the end of the year called Pokemon. I don't know why that's not in there.
Yeah. So it's like, It just seems like this Nintendo of late is just flailing around. I also think that, you know, a lot of this is happening because Kimishima doesn't want to double down on the Wii U.
He was opposed to that system from minute one.
Yeah, at this point, he's like, okay, well, we got Zelda and we got whatever we have in the channel. Let's get that out there, and then we're not really going to, you know, push it too hard.
And it sounds to me like it's almost as though they haven't fully transitioned to their new corporate structure.
Yeah.
And so right now they're kind of focused on internal matters rather than, you know, trying to sell games.
Yeah.
Which, you know, considering traditional Japanese corporate culture, that's a good, pretty good explanation.
Yeah. On the upside, Amiibos and Miitomo are doing really well. So.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know if they expected Miitomo to do as well as it's doing.
Nope, I don't think they did.
Yeah. I mean, what I don't get about this whole thing is that, you know, Nintendo is pretty much going out of their way to make Zelda come out on both the NX and the Wii U at the same time. And with that, you know, we're not going to get any NX information at E3. Yet they want to make the Wii U version playable at E3, and that's it.
Yeah.
And we're going to have the NX in time for E3 next year.
Yeah.
So this is going correct me if I'm wrong, this is the first major system since E3 started to never have pre-launch hype at E3.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And the worst part is, it's like, okay, they're showing the Wii U version of Zelda, but the NX version is going to come out at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yeah, here's the version that we're going to show, but don't buy this one. Just wait a few months.
Yeah, exactly. You're hindering your own sales.
Yeah. Nintendo, sometimes we wonder what the hell is going on in your head.
Now, maybe this is just... maybe this is just growing pains, and we'll come out the other end of it at E3 next year feeling fantastic about them. But right now, it's just kind of, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of what?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just that messy transition period until they get to the next thing that supposedly is going to start unifying all their attempts
to
make games and all that.
Mm. Yeah. But just to put it out there, while they did say that they've confirmed that they're going to have nothing but Zelda at the Treehouse, they still haven't confirmed as to whether or not they'll be doing an actual digital event.
Yeah. So
be on the lookout. Like, all of these press releases are super vague, and they don't reply to any of our queries. So just keep it.
But that's kind of what Nintendo usually does.
Yeah.
It's almost, their silence on that is almost like, you know, maybe they do have something and they're trying to tell you to shut up, you're going to ruin it.
Yeah.
I could see there being like a Bill Trinan show of him just announcing stuff.
Mm.
Announcing stuff for the eShop and all that.
Yeah, it's like, hey, it's Mother's Day, so we're going to release Mother 3 in a few hours. Yeah, shut up.
I would shut up.
Bill Trinan's funny.
Yeah.
Super nice guy, but he always looks like he's about 5 seconds away from just killing anyone within a 10-foot radius.
Yes. Yeah, he just kind of has that face. It's like, yeah, really nice guy, but wow.
That's why it would be insane if he actually enters Evo.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I'm going to, like, murder somebody. So, yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if he managed, like, doing really well.
Yeah. Just by staring at people. That's all you'd have to do, really.
Yeah.
Anyway, so as we kind of stated on Let's Weekend on Friday, we're pretty close to Persona 5.
Confirmed to be coming to Japan, at least, on September 15th. And honestly, deep down, I'm still hoping that they... put a week of Final Fantasy 15 over here and just do this super aggressive ad campaign. Like, we're still making RPGs, you know, just
RPGs.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what Square Enix did with that Final Fantasy 15 poll a few months back, didn't really sit well with me. And I couldn't tell if they were trying to be predatory toward, Persona 5. Or trying to dodge Persona 5, or finding out if they needed to do one or the other, but it seemed kind of scummy to me. There was just something about it that I didn't like.
Yeah.
So I would love to see the North American launch of Persona 5 land the same week as Final Fantasy 15, and just step on Square Enix's toes a little bit.
Yeah.
Not just because of what Final Fantasy 15 is and what it stands for as a game, but just because Square Enix pulled that poll trick. That bothered me.
Yeah. Well, if they've been localizing in time with the Japanese version, that it could potentially happen.
And they're really good with that lately. So.
Yeah. So, here's that.
Oh.
Yeah. So we got some more Uncharted 4 news come today. Well, I don't know if it was today, but anyway, Naughty Dog has announced some more details on the Uncharted 4 multiplayer. Looks kind of cool.
Yeah, so they announced their philosophy for DLC for this for Uncharted 4, which is basically that everybody gets all the maps for free, no splitting of the community with new modes and maps that are coming. So that'll be free. They're going to still have a bunch of DLC to buy. It's going to be all boosters, mysticals, chests and skins and all that sort of stuff. But much like a lot of multiplayer games, they're going to have two different types of currencies. One that you earn in the game, so you can buy everything without actually having to pay for it. Or you can just spend money if you want.
A lot of games are adopting that model. It's nice to see.
Yeah. It's best when they have everything be able to be unlocked. Yeah. Like stuff like Rainbow Six Siege, which had some stuff that you had to pay for. Yeah, being able to have everybody on the, essentially have the same content and have access to the same things if they play enough is good to see become more of a trend. Especially when they were doing the opposite of that with The Last of Us and Uncharted 3.
Yeah.
They have tons of details on this post on the PlayStation blog. They detail what the other two parts of their season pass are going to be, which are just a couple of weapons, boosters, skins, hats, and taunts. Nothing really specific, since they obviously can't put maps or anything like that in there. The other part of that season pass is their first big single-player story add-on for the series. So that'll be cool to see. They've also released like a roadmap for all this multiplayer content. They're going to have a big update in the summer, the autumn, winter, and then next spring.
Every 3 months, basically.
Yeah, this summer, it's new maps, a new game mode, new weapons, boosters, all that stuff. Cinema replay feature. Autumn, they're going to add a co-op mode, which I'm guessing is going to be like the co-op adventure mode from Uncharted 3, which is sort of a little bit of a three-player little story thing, which was pretty cool to see in the original games that they had that in. Let's see, more maps, weapons, all that other stuff. Winter is more weapons, boosters, skins, vanity items, and such. And it's pretty much the same for spring as well. So it seems like they're going to have most of the big content in by the probably September or October range.
Yeah. So if you're somebody who's like just interested in single-player content, there's probably not a reason to get the season pass and just get the single-player expansion.
Yeah, that seems to be the case.
Yeah.
And they also detail what all the modes are going to be in there at launch. There's going to be ranked mode, which has all the, I think they're doing season stuff with it. Yeah, qualifiers, all that sort of stuff. There's command mode, which is sort of capturing these different sites on the map, trying to level them up, I guess. And that gives you specific abilities, like being able to see where other captains on the other team are at, that sort of stuff. It's got Team Deathmatch, it's got Plunder, which that's a fun little mode, which is essentially like Capture the Flag, except you're carrying this idol. You can sort of have a real cool sort of fire bucket thing where you're just throwing it to other teammates, passing it along.
Awesome.
And you can sort of climb up and all that sort of stuff, and it's a pretty cool little mode. They also got a warm-up playlist, which is intended for new people, sort of be able to play and not necessarily have to worry about just getting murdered constantly.
Yeah.
And it says you'll be able to play this for a certain number of matches, so that's definitely going to be a thing that new people, the veterans, can't abuse, at least not without switching accounts.
Yeah.
And essentially starting from scratch.
Yeah.
It's got trials, which are sort of the playing against NPCs. Sort of little trial maps to play against NPCs. You can earn the relic currency that you can use to spend on various items. So that'll be one of the ways you're able to farm some of that stuff. But yeah, that's a lot of information for people that want to get into the multiplayer at launch. And, they definitely have their plans set in stone right now.
Yeah.
Cool. I actually do plan on spending some time with that, so this is all pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Uncharted multiplayer has actually been pretty solid from what
I've
heard.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah.
It's one of those multiplayers that doesn't take itself seriously, so there's lots of dumb taunts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've seen GIFs of Nathan Drake has a sort of money taunt. He just has like a stack of money, just swiping out of his hand, just, yeah, let the money flow. I think somebody does that right after they open up a chest. It's like, yeah, money for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of my gym buddies, when they play The Division, they stand around doing jumping jacks. I'm like, what the fuck are you guys doing? So for Uncharted, it was pretty cool.
I've seen somebody manage to glitch it so you can move around while you're doing the jumping jacks. So there's a funny gif I saw of somebody's like in this tense firefight, and you see this guy jumping jacks throughout the whole thing.
It's too good.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm about to die. Jumping jacks.
But yeah, like Uncharted multiplayer is something that seems more approachable than something like Call of Duty, because, you know, I'm assuming that everybody who plays multiplayer has already beaten the main story a few times, so it's not like you'll be doing things you don't know how to do, you know?
Yeah, and especially have like the verticality aspect to it, being able to get up and get angles that
swings.
Wouldn't necessarily have in Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Maybe in Battlefield, but not Call of Duty.
Yeah, cool stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, so Bethesda's been working on Fallout 4 for the past few months. They got the 1.5 update coming up very shortly. It's out now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's adding survival, and they also announced their expansion. It's coming out. Let's see, Far Harbor.
May 19th.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's supposed to be huge, huge expansion. They're saying bigger than. One for Oblivion.
Hmm.
I forget what that one's called. Yeah, it's supposed to be huge, this big new area you go explore. Set off the coast of Maine.
Hmm.
Yeah, they got a new trailer out. Go check it out. It'll be interesting to see how that that goes.
Yeah. No.
And they're gonna be having their mod update coming out soon.
Yeah, I was wondering where that was.
Yeah, it's out in beta on PC right now. I think it's supposed to be coming out later this month on Xbox One and then June for PS4.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good that they've actually managed to get it on the PS4 as well.
I think it's supposed to be kind of like the Snap Map stuff for Doom.
Yeah.
Where it's all done on beta Bethesda's servers.
Yeah.
So essentially you can upload your mods to that. They'll decide which ones are available to players.
Yeah. I'm just interested to see, like, how badly some of these mods are going to just bring the Xbox One to a crawl.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see that stuff.
Yeah, so for sure you're not going to see high-res textures on the Xbox One version. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah, you're probably not going to see, like, Darth Vader and the other weird stuff.
Yeah, licensed stuff and all that. But you'll see all that on the PC, but on the consoles, I doubt that'll make it through.
Yep.
Cool. Yeah, so I know there's a couple of you guys who do play Fallout 4, so lots of good stuff to look forward to there. So on worse news, we got former Kerbal Space Program dev who's left the studio and has been vocal about the studio's crunch and low pay policies.
Yeah,
that's underestimating it.
Yeah,
so he said his NDA has expired, so he can talk about this stuff. Mm. And he's put them on blast. saying he's been doing tons of crunch, and his salary there, in terms of American money equivalent, is $2,400 annually.
Oh,
$200 a month.
That's slave wages right there.
Yeah, so the thing about Kerbal Space Program is that the company that owns it is a marketing firm. One of the people there happened to be a game developer, was working on this thing, and he was going to quit to go focus on that. And they convinced him to stay on, keep making the game, because they were going to give him support for all that. And now they've made a ton of money, and they haven't necessarily redistributed the wealth to the people that have been making it. And so, yeah, they're getting lots of heat on this. And I guess some people on the Reddit that are prominent modders that have some contacts within the studio have confirmed this is the case. It's not just him being the loose cannon guy that just mad because he got let go. I guess a lot of these people were interns and people that were on the side where basically their work is largely done.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not necessarily part of the core team. But yeah. There's somebody else who was a intern there for about 10, 11 months, and they got about $2,700 after fees. And it's like, I know Mexico has lower minimum wage there. I think it's like $4 a day or something like that. But it's that's still not this still should not be the case, especially for a game that has done this well.
Yeah, I've talked before, and I'm going to go ahead and just say it again. What needs to happen is that the game developers need to organize so that they can do some collective bargaining.
Yeah,
we need a game dev union. We're getting more and more of these stories now of these really just frankly awful working conditions that, you know, were these, you know, any other industry, they would be shut down by OSHA in a heartbeat. But because of the nature of software development, they're just sort of given a pass. And we talked, you know, a couple weeks ago about what's his name? Guy who sort of shot off the mouth about how they were lucky to develop stuff.
Oh, that idiot.
Yeah.
Mark St. John.
Yeah, Mark St. John.
Alex.
And, you know, he basically is, he is pretty much, as far as I'm concerned, the living embodiment, the living example of why a dev union is something that needs to happen.
Yeah.
Because he's not, guys like him are far more common in the industry than people like to think they are. And, you know, just this stuff, it just doesn't need to happen.
Nope.
It really doesn't. I mean, we're technologically at a point now where, you know, the amount of crunch time and overtime that they have to do is just unnecessary.
Yeah, especially when you have a game that's just,
for an indie game, where does an indie studio even get off trying to implement crunch?
Exactly.
How is that a thing?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's because they're being run by a marketing firm that doesn't really understand
exactly
typical
Can
development
it really be
process.
Called indie then at that point?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just such a gray area.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just, eventually, the way I see this happening is two things are going to happen. Either there's going to be such a stink that eventually there will be a dev union formed, or one of these dudes, someone is going to get overworked to the point that they end up dying at their desk.
Yeah.
And that's going to force some change, however minor it might be.
Oh, yeah, I'd be surprised to see him try to sweep it under the rug first.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a response from the developer here. Let's see. The comments made by those former team members does not reflect the reality of our company. But in a squad, we will keep moving along with our commitment of respecting and listening to those who want to make constructive criticism about the company or KSP.
It
doesn't really say anything.
Yeah, it looks like a very generic kind of response.
They're just pointing and saying, liar!
Yeah, basically. You should be lucky to have worked for us, you slime.
Yeah, they're kind of saying, it's not that bad.
We're the greatest bastards here, and you pricks would die without us.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess in Mexico, the minimum wage is about $100 per month.
Yeah.
So he was only making about twice that
for a just job about.
That should pay quite a bit more than that.
Mm-hmm. Especially when it's something this successful. This thing sold like over 1 million copies, hasn't it?
Yeah. It's and they're coming to seller. Consoles as well in the near future, so.
Which is going to
be. That's going to do it some favors.
Yeah. Frankly, these people should be not only getting paid better, they should be sending them out on vacations, too.
Yeah.
Fly them out to Rio or something, because a game that successful, and, you know, the people who did all the hard work on it just aren't getting any of the, you know, they're not being rewarded, properly rewarded for their labor.
Yeah,
That's just wrong.
Yeah, either that money should be invested into rewarding the developers or invested back into the game.
Yeah.
That's probably going to the ownership group.
The marketers.
That owns the company.
Yeah.
It's a company that, up until this game was even a thing, they had no business in games.
Mm-hmm. Mm. All right. Well, I think we've pretty much gotten all we can out of that particular story.
Yeah.
Until I will not be surprised, though, if this starts something of a chain reaction.
Yeah, this is just bizarre to me.
It has to. There's too many of these.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now it's all getting out to the open.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, if there's anything that Alex St. John did, at least he kind of lit that the match on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Squad, let's see, their main business is to provide digital and interactive services to customers like Coca-Cola, Hewlett-Packard, Sony, Samsung, Nissan, including creating websites, guerrilla marketing, multimedia installations, and corporate image design.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So not really much in terms of game development management.
Nope.
Which makes you wonder what they're even doing in that space to begin with.
Because one of their people happened to actually make games. Made one that made them tons of money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now they're exploiting that.
Mm.
Yeah, right. Well, we got some Mighty Number 9 news, it looks like. Well,
yeah. It's actually going to happen.
Maybe? Yes? No?
Hopefully.
Inafune.
Please,
well,
God.
It went gold, so I think that's a pretty good sign.
Yeah. Please, God, let
well,
it happen
if it
finally.
If it went gold now, and it's going to be coming out June 21st, you know, that's about enough time to get through certification on all the platforms and fix any bugs that might come out, hopefully.
Yeah. God, I want this game to be good so badly.
Inafune doesn't need another black eye.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's PS4, Xbox One, Wii U, PS3, Xbox 360, PC, Mac, and Linux. Vita and 3DS are coming a little bit later.
Yeah, I think they kind of overreached with this one.
Yeah.
The more that they...
It's strange, though, because Inafune... I mean, this game is tantamount to a Mega Man game from the early 90s.
Yeah.
It's got some extra features, but nothing that really... Nothing that really should have ramped up the development cycle as much as it has. And this, you know, Inafune was cranking these out at a pace of maybe two a year back in the day.
Yeah, but he was only doing them on one platform.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, one platform, basically one mode.
Yeah.
You know. Because of the stretch goals, they had like a dozen that they had to add.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think the main thing is the fact that he really insisted on having it released for every console on day one.
Yeah.
When I think they should have just, I mean, I don't care what the Kickstarter says, give it to those who Kickstarted it and said they wanted it on this console first.
Yep.
And then, yeah. I mean, I've played the PS4 build of the game at Comic-Con and some other convention I was at, and it's fine. So I'm sure there's bugs here and there, but you have to look for them.
Yeah.
Well, there was apparently, they had one of the delays had to do because of a bug they found in the online capabilities.
Yeah, it was something to do with leaderboards and weird crap like that. But
yeah.
Which you wonder why that's even needed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, Yeah. So hopefully we'll actually get it soon, finally.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. And you can buy it June 21st.
I imagine the hype train will be in full effect at
E3.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I forget. Is this just going to be getting a physical release, or is it just digital for now?
No, it's physical. It's getting physical.
Yeah.
Because I've seen the physical, the things for the physical boxes at GameStop. So
gotcha.
Cool. All right. So look forward to that.
Speaking of the hype train.
Yeah.
So apparently the beta for Overwatch, the open beta that was done this weekend, apparently is doing so well that they're actually extending it to another day. So if you haven't had a chance to get on it yet, they've extended it to May 10th, so it's Tuesday. And if you've heard what me and Chris have said, give it a shot because it is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
They said, "Oh yeah, Uncharted 4 is out this week."
Oh, crap.
It's a lot of fun. You know, it's got a lot of personality and a lot of character. And May is Bay, so.
How big's the file?
I can't even remember.
That's like 4 or 5 gigs.
Yeah,
it's not want to get started on that then.
It's not too bad from what I expect.
My PS4 is in trouble in that regard, but let me check it out.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's why I'm doing Xbox One.
Yeah,
because you know Xbox Live can be annoying, but PSN just drives me freaking crazy. So.
Yeah, especially when you're downloading a 4.5 gig music player.
Exactly.
Because I don't know why. Yeah.
Yeah, when you download that, the file it says you're downloading is music player.
Yeah.
It just has the Overwatch logo.
What?
I guess that might have been like a thing for Secret when they distributed it before.
Maybe.
They just didn't change
the name. Just, yeah. But they didn't.
Here's your quote unquote music player.
Yeah.
We shoot people in the face.
So we got some interesting news here for Shadow of the Beast. The PS4 version is allegedly, well, actually confirmedly, coming with the original Amiga version.
Yeah, so they're emulating it within the game. So they say it's going to be, you have to unlock it, but they haven't said exactly what it was, I think.
But has they've added one. Play the Amiga version?
No.
I did.
How was that?
A little better than the Genesis version, to be honest. Mm. Yeah.
And they're adding some cheats to it, as well as like a infinite lives mode and some other stuff to help people.
Which you will need.
Enjoy.
Yeah, the game was pretty tough when I was playing it at the PS Experience.
Yeah.
Pretty excited about it, though.
Yeah,
that's going to be out in a couple weeks.
Yeah. It looks really good.
What a month.
Oh,
I think it's out on the 17th, so next week.
Yeah. Oh, this is interesting.
God damn it.
It's like I'm already out of money, so it's like I'm seeing all of these games that I can't buy, so it's great.
Deadpool's on Tuesday.
At least it's only $20.
Yeah. That's $20 that I can't spend. Oh, well. And I won't be spending money on the Stern Pinball Arcade AC/DC Kickstarter, because that's been canceled.
Yeah, because this thing was actually, the Stern Pinball Arcade was actually announced last September.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody knew about it. So that's like their own, it's a new version of Pinball Arcade for Stern's tables.
Hmm.
That they have some new process to essentially emulate the ROMs directly into the game.
Yeah.
Sort of be able to make that look a lot better, be able to use the assets and make much better looking table. They can take advantage of 3D CAD files for the geometry of the playfield, ramps, bumpers, and all that stuff. It's going to have their new physics engine for it.
Yeah.
Physics 4.0.
Yeah, which is apparently, I'm not sure if they're still going to do this, but apparently they were going to retrofit that into the regular pinball arcade, but I'm not sure if that's still happening.
Yeah, actually, they're not doing ROM emulation. They're actually just dropping the code straight into the engine.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So that gets rid of the overhead of having to do the emulation.
Yeah.
So they can add more effects and all that stuff, make it look better.
Yeah.
Along with that, they got new funding. some new funding, so they don't need to do the Kickstarter for this table, at least.
Mm-hmm.
But along with that, there's going to be a new Star Trek table. Like, these are all upcoming Stern tables.
Yeah.
There's Ghostbusters, I think the old one and a new one, and Star Trek Next Generation along with the new one. Mm-hmm. They're also bringing some other older tables to this that are Stern ones.
Yeah.
Terminator, a couple others.
Yeah, a lot of people have been wanting that Terminator table.
Yeah, this can be on PS4, Xbox One, Wii U, I guess Rift, Gear VR, Steam, iOS, and Android.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully they'll continue actually, putting these Stern tables out, because they've been doing some really good stuff. They just released the Game of Thrones one.
Yeah.
Which is apparently really, really good. People like pinball and good stuff. Pinball in VR would be actually something really cool, and apparently that's something that you can do on the Oculus Rift.
Pinball in Game of Thrones.
Yep. Yeah, you lose a ball and you die.
Oh, it's like, oh, no. It's like when Zen Pinball 2 just got Aliens.
Yeah.
Alien and Aliens. AVP, I think.
Yeah. Well, I'm a fan of Stern because they've been doing some good work. Yeah, the Metallica pinball that they did a few years ago is amazing.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll get that in Stern Pinball Arcade, too. Nice. All right. So let's see. Moving on to Sega. They would very much like it if you would stop uploading the Sonic Boom cartoon to YouTube.
Really?
Yeah. They would. They've given notice saying that, we're going to start flagging these when we find them and doing copyright strikes. So if you've uploaded them, please stop and delete them. Now, normally, like, I'm the kind of person that doesn't really care too much about other people's, I'm not going to say right to defend their IP, but it's more along the lines of if that stuff gets on YouTube, it gets on YouTube.
Well, what I was going to say is you'd think they'd just be grateful that people care about the show.
Yeah.
Considering everything that's happened to the Sonic brand over the years. You know, if I were in that position, I would be thinking, wow, people actually care enough about this to watch it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think people are watching it because they like it. I think it's more along the lines of what the hell happened here, and this is a have a look. So, in this case, I'm kind of with Sega and saying, well, the less that was seen of this, the better. It's like let's try to pretend this didn't happen, and we'll make Sonic great again.
You could convince me of that.
Yeah. So
the trick is to just have it running at 1.5 speed, and they won't detect it.
Yeah.
That's what they do with Simpsons episodes on YouTube.
Yeah. Which is entertaining, by the way, if you try to watch a Simpsons episode at 1.5 speed.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds kind of funny. Yeah, so stop uploading Sonic Boom episodes to YouTube.
Watch something better.
Yeah.
Like My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic.
Can we not?
Hmm. Oh, that's fighting words for some people.
Oh, I know.
He knows.
Yeah. Yeah, so this next story, Brandon, you were probably a big fan of this.
Oh, yeah. So Square Enix is hiring on Hyper Light Drifter's main dude onto the for an unnamed project. This is a really, really smart move for Square. I've already talked about how much I freaking love Hyper Light Drifter, how much fun it is, and just an amazing piece of craftsmanship that it is.
Yeah,
just artistically and play wise, and just everything else. This is really just we've talked a bit about how sort of Square right now is kind of a
schizophrenic.
Company. Two personalities, basically.
Yeah.
There's the sort of the newer, younger Square that has sort of figured out that they've gotten a better hold of the industry now and are, sort of branching out and, going to other places outside of where their main corporate culture is. And then there's the other Square, which is, you know, had no problem Lost. Having a dude work on a rock for about 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a really good rock.
Yeah, it's a great rock. You can look at it in Final Fantasy 13 too, because it didn't make it into the original game.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, crap. But yeah, I want to see. I'm excited to see what this guy's going to do, because if it's anything of the quality like Hyper Light Drifter, Square's going to have a winner.
Yeah, yeah, and it's like, you know, as we talk about Nintendo being a company that's got issues, Square is, you could see signs of decay going on there, but you also see a company that's also trying to revitalize itself. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, with moves like this and Tokyo RPG Factory, it's like there's potential there. So, well, let's hope they don't waste it.
Right.
Doesn't look like they're wasting it.
Yeah.
Nope.
So, on to our final story, and this one's kind of interesting. Witcher creator over at CD Projekt Red has took his time in responding to Tim Sweeney's diatribe on Microsoft's Universal Apps platform.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Basically, he's kind of saying, you know, you really should give Microsoft a break here. This is not the same company that was under Steve Ballmer. If they tried to lock things down, it would probably result in a really big backlash, and that, you know, then you'd have nobody working on on their stuff. So that's a bad thing. Yeah, his reply to the cross-platform play, cross-network play even, was more along the lines of, fucking yeah. So,
yeah, we really need to realize that cross-network play thing is a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
You know, that is going to, if it's something that not only Microsoft, but also Sony decides to take up, if all the companies take up, that's going to be a big, big game changer.
Yeah.
And I think the Rocket League devs have said that they've technically already got it working, but they got to work out all the fine details, all the legal stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really, it's the legal stuff that's the big barrier here.
Yeah, it's all liability. What happens if something goes wrong?
Yeah.
That the sort of data that has to...
Yeah, it has to go to and from both networks.
Yeah, the paperwork for that crap probably fills a warehouse by itself.
Yeah. So. And how you handle things like somebody on PSN and somebody on Xbox Live having the same name. And yeah, there's things like that that you need to sort out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I have no doubt that by the end of this year, this is something that's going to happen.
Yeah. And, you know, this, you know, it's a symptom of sort of the changing face of the games industry.
Yeah.
You know, I'm one of those people who's really always hated the whole concept of the console war.
Yeah.
And this is a good step away from that.
Yeah.
I think. There will always be sort of a console fanboys here and there, but they're increasingly becoming more of an outlier.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know. If you look at, like, Phil Spencer's tweets about Sony games and vice versa, you can look at the comments and see those people.
Yeah.
Yeah, all over. But the internet doesn't necessarily represent everyone.
Yeah.
And it's funny.
Yeah, it's funny, but remember, most of the people...
And the more marginalized a demographic gets, the louder they get.
Yeah, so, keep in mind, the vast majority of individuals who actually have the privilege of being able to go online and, you know, troll people also tend to be fairly well-to-do middle-aged snots. Well, not middle-aged, middle class.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, like YouTuber's name, Crap Gamer.
Yeah.
Expect nuanced opinions out of that person.
Yeah, you know, I think the age of the just the angry YouTube ranter video maker is kind of winding down. I think people are starting to get a little bit irritated with that.
Mm-hmm.
Starting?
Yeah. No, it's like, you know, even PewDiePie is kind of wanting to grow up a little bit. So.
Yeah.
Well, that's a sign of hell freezing over.
Yeah. There's that. And there's the people like, you know, like James Rolfe and that, who do that as kind of a shtick, you know?
Yeah.
That kind of, that still works. But that's,
you know, it's a character.
That's shtick.
Yeah.
Yeah. When it's different from someone who's really just an asshole.
Yeah.
At the point that you're yelling at Phil Spencer, Adam Boys on Twitter, Shuhei Yoshida, like you've gone way over the line.
Yeah.
Way off the deep end.
Yeah. Yeah. And at that point, well, you know, is it so bad that these people can actually respect each other's work? I mean, I don't see that as a bad thing.
Exactly.
These are the same people who probably would have rioted if they'd found out that Shigeru Miyamoto and Yuji Naka were basically good friends from the very beginning.
Yeah.
They were.
It would just shatter their entire worldview.
Yep.
Yeah. They kind of were, by the way.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If they'd found out about that, your average 16-bit era fanboy, their heads would have melted.
Yeah. Time to riot, time to burn down every EB Games in sight.
Everything they know and love is a lie.
Yeah. 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 So I think on that happy note, we'll end the show for this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, so remember, next week we've got our two guests, Corey and Triace from My Life in Gaming. We're going to have fun with that. I'm very much looking forward to it. Lee is looking forward to it. It's going to be a good show.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Lee's super stoked about that. He pretty much set the whole thing up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome.
I'll probably do very little talking in that episode, but you never know. Mm-hmm. I'll probably have a few interesting things to say. Mm-hmm. So, with that, I'm Filippo Danolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Chris Elogi.
And I'm Dan Reb Victoria.
And have a great week.